This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Okay, inshallah, we are carrying on with the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's participation. So the next battle, actually wasn't a battle, but it could have possibly been a battle, was the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place in the 6th year of Hijrah. What is the background? The background is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a dream that they are all going for Umrah. So he wakes up and he tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba get very excited. Why? Because the Muhajirun want to go back home. The Ansar want to perform the Umrah, you know, in a proper manner, because before that the Umrah was performed, but it was performed in a shirky way. So they all want to go for Umrah. So they get ready. 1400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum get ready to go for the Umrah. So whilst they are going, the mushrikeen find out, and the mushrikeen say, look, there is no way that we are going to allow you to come. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consulted Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr said, O Messenger of Allah, look, our intention is to go and do the Umrah, nothing else. And it was a custom amongst the people of Makkah that you can't stop anybody from visiting the Kaaba. This was a custom. Even if they're your enemies, because this was your holy place, it was the center, you have no right to stop anybody. So Abu Bakr says, O Messenger of Allah, that we're going for the Kaaba and we have not come to fight. We make that quite clear. And if they fight, then we will fight. Otherwise, we will not fight. So that was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's mashwara. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a man from the Bani Khuza forward to find out. So he came back and said, look, they've prepared an army, they're not going to allow you to go. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again consulted the Sahaba radhwanullah ajma'in, and by then the mushrikeen had sent a man called Urwa bin Mas'ud. Urwa bin Mas'ud was one of the leaders of the Arabs. So he came to the Messenger of Allah and he said to the Messenger of Allah, he said, look, have you, O Muhammad, ever seen a man who has destroyed his people? Has that ever happened? That's never happened. That you destroy your people, the people of Makkah who are your people, or you destroy their religion. But imagine if they get the upper hand over you. Then he said, you know these faces that I see around you? I don't think they'll stand. I think they'll run. Meaning, tribes stick together. But these people, you got some Ansar, you got some from here, you got some Africans, you got some, you know, from here, there, Salman al-Farsi, and all these people, they're not going to stay by your side. So Abu Bakr got really angry, and Abu Bakr insulted him. So what happened then, was because the Prophet ﷺ had seen this dream, but it didn't mean that they had to do Umrah this year. So what the mushrikeen said, you can come for Umrah, but not this year, you can come next year. And they agreed, the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And in the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, there were many conditions which actually went against the Muslims. So even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would say, subhanAllah, apparently the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah was against the Muslims, but it turned out to be the greatest victory for the Muslims. That's what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu would say. So Umar, after this, he comes to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he's upset with the compromises. And he says, oh Abu Bakr, tell me, are we not Muslims and are they not mushriks? Meaning, why do we have to take these conditions? He said, yes, we are Muslims and they are mushriks. He said, is not the Messenger of Allah the true prophet? Is the Messenger of Allah not the true prophet? Why do we have to take these compromises? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu showed his iman on that occasion. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's the true prophet, and whatever he says, he's inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the difference. Honestly, when you study the life of Abu Bakr and Umar, Umar would question certain things. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never ever questioned anything the Messenger of Allah said. Never. That's why the Messenger of Allah said, when I presented Islam, every single person thought, hesitated, took a step back beside this man. Offered him Islam, accepted it straight away. Never in his life did he ever question the Prophet ﷺ on anything. Umar says, after I asked these questions, I felt really bad. He says, the caravan's going back to Medina. I'm right at the back of the caravan because I'm worried revelation will descend regarding me and I will be destroyed. He says, I'm right at the back of the caravan. All of a sudden, the Messenger of Allah sends a message for me. And I thought, game over, finish. Umar, you're finished. Allah has revealed the Quran from the seventh heaven to regarding your destruction. And he says, hesitantly I went forward, and the Messenger of Allah turned to me and he said, Umar, glad tidings. Allah has revealed, Inna fatahna laka fatahan mubina. You know the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah where all the conditions seem to be against you. Allah says, Inna fatahna laka fatahan mubina. This is a manifest victory for you. And this is why Abu Bakr would say, greatest victory for the believers was Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. So in the seventh year, you have the Battle of Khaybar. Now, how did the Battle of Khaybar take place? Look, the Khaybar was where the Jews were. And even those Jews who had been exiled from Medina, they ended up in Khaybar. Now, they were the people who incited the mushrikeen against the Muslims at Khandaq and many other occasions. What the condition in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah was that the Muslims would not fight the mushrikeen for 10 years. What did that do? That freed up the Muslims to deal with the other enemies. So on the seventh year, they go to Khaybar, to the forts. And there's a number of forts in Khaybar, and they were very strong. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, on the first day, he gave the flag to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to go. He had no success. Second day, he gave it to Umar ibn Khattab. He had no success. The next occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will today give it to a man who loves Allah and his Rasul, and Allah and his Rasul love him. Umar says, never in my life did I want prominence besides that occasion. Why? He said, because we all love Allah and his Rasul. But this was a man who Allah and his Rasul love also. So the next morning, the Prophet said, where is Ali? And he called Ali and he gave him the flag, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory on the hands of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. The next battle is a very interesting battle, because in this battle or expedition, they had a guide called Rafi ibn Amr. Now Rafi ibn Amr was a bandit, a robber. He knew paths where nobody else knew because he was a bandit. So he, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is in this army. Umar is in this army, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes in charge of this army who? Amr ibn As. Amr ibn As embraced Islam just before the Battle of Mu'tah, very late on, in the latter part of the Hijrah years. But he made him the Amir, and this shows, subhanAllah, the humility. Abu Bakr, Umar didn't say, look, we are early Muslims, we should be the leaders. No, he's the Amir, they follow. Whoever the Amir is, may he be younger than me, you, may he may have less knowledge than you. Humbleness dictates, like Abu Bakr and Umar show us, that you follow that Amir. So in this, Rafi bin Amr, he sees Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And the narration mentioned, he says, he had a fadak, a cloak which from a specific place called fadak, and he had a miswak in his hand. And he says, this guy, out of everybody in the army, seemed different. He seemed special, subhanAllah. Allah, you know, gives the awliya, and the greater the awliya, he gives them a presence. He said, this guy seemed different to everybody else in the expedition. So he said, I approached him and I said to him, listen, I've chosen you from everybody else. He called you Sahib al-Siwak. He had a Siwak. So, oh, the person that, who had the Siwak with him, I've chosen you from everybody else. I want you to advise me, but don't give me too long advice. Something I can remember. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, you can count fingers? He said, yes. So he gives him this. He says, bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped besides Allah and Muhammad, his slave and messenger. Establish the prayer. If you have wealth, give the zakat, perform hajj to the house, and fast in the month of Ramadan. He said, have you remembered this? Is it enough? Just that. Subhanallah. No long bayan, no long nasiyah, just concise. You know, a man can, this is sometimes very beautiful, because sometimes, you know, we don't understand the individual we're speaking to, and we start giving a long, long bayan, or very intellectual, it goes over that person's head. By the time we finish with that poor guy, he's more confused than when we started with him. You know, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, give me some nasiha. Give me some nasiha that after this nasiha, I don't have to ask anybody else." Okay, so imagine somebody said to me, "You know, give me life-changing nasiha, admonition which will change my life." So what we would do is say, "Come back after a week. Let me write it down." What did the Messenger of Allah say to him? The Messenger of Allah said, "Qul amantu billah thumma istaqim." Say you believe in Allah firmly and then remain firm upon istiqamah, steadfastness. Subhanallah, short, concise, but heavy. Because if you can remain steadfast on something, that is a miracle in itself. That is a miracle. Most people waver this way, that way. But if you can remain firm on something, that is subhanAllah achievement. Then we have the conquest of Makkah. So the conquest of Makkah. So now again, we go back to Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. What's the background to conquest of Makkah? On the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, they had a treaty that those who align themselves with the Muslims, they will be protected like the Muslims. And those who align themselves with the people of Makkah, they will have the same rules and regulation. So there was a tribe called the Bani Bakr who aligned themselves to the Makkans, and there was the Khuza, the Bani Khuza, who aligned themselves to the Muslims. So what the Bani Bakr did is that they attacked the Bani Khuza. And narration mentioned people from Makkah also, Ikrama, etc., they attacked them as well. And some of the Bani Khuza were Muslims. So they killed the Bani Khuza. So this violated the treaty for 10 years. Now, subhanAllah, by now, this gave the Muslims also time to strengthen themselves. Many people who were interested in embracing Islam didn't embrace Islam because they were concerned about the people of Makkah. But the treaty, 10-year treaty, now opened that door, so they had embraced Islam. The Muslim numbers swelled. So the Prophet ﷺ sent a message to them and he said, listen, you have three conditions. One is that you pay diya. So the blood money for those who were killed, pay the blood money. The second is that you break your allegiance and alliance with the Bani Bakr. Say that we no longer have allegiance and alliance with them. Or the third, you make an announcement that the Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, is finished. So Abu Sufyan, when they came to him, he said, third one, treaty is finished. So the Muslim came back. Abu Sufyan now realized that was a bad move. So he comes to Medina to convince the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to carry on with the treaty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't say a word to him. Now remember, Umm Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, is married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then he goes to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr said, listen, Abu Sufyan, if there was an army of ants fighting you people, I would side with the army of the ants. That's how much I dislike you. So then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he goes to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he sees Aisha, his daughter radiallahu anha, she's sifting wheat. Normally the Arabs would sift wheat if they were going to go on a long journey. So he says to her, he gets suspicious. So he says, is the Messenger of Allah going to fight the Romans? Because the Messenger of Allah told Aisha, although this is the father, remain quiet, don't tell anybody. She remains quiet. Said, is it the people of Najd? Quiet. He said, is it the people of Quraysh? That's really the question he wanted to ask. Yeah? Remain quiet. Whilst he's having the discussion with her, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abu Bakr, we have decided to attack Mecca. And this resulted in the conquest of Mecca. Taif. So Taif is the city where the Prophet ﷺ was chased out of. It is that city which is quite close to Mecca. Is that occasion where the Prophet ﷺ said that there was no occasion which was more heavier upon me than being chased out of Taif, the urchins stoning and pelting the Prophet ﷺ. This was Taif. So after Fateh Mecca now, they decide to go to Taif. So they lay siege. The Taif was very unique. Why? Because Taif was the only city which had a large wall upon it, around it. Why did it have a large wall around it? Was because one of the people of Taif had a very close relationship with the Kisra, the leader of the Persian, the superpower. And they were a very advanced nation. So he said to him, he said, what would you like? Kisra said, what would you like from me? He said, I would like you to build a wall around my city. So the Kisra now sent engineers and they built a wall around Taif. So Taif was very difficult to penetrate and Taif is on high ground. So for 40 days, they lay siege to it. On this occasion, Abu Bakr's son Abdullah was martyred. So what happened was that the people of Taif were expert marksmen shooting arrows. So what they did is that they shot an arrow. It hit Abdullah. He lived for 40 days and then he passed away. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu later on, when the people of Taif came, Abu Bakr still had that, the arrow. So he brought it out. He said, who does this arrow belong to? And there was a man called Sa'id bin Ubaid. Sa'id bin Ubaid, he said, that's my arrow. I cut it, I sharpened it, and I'm the one who put the feather upon it. Abu Bakr said, this was the arrow which killed my son. He said, all praise be to Allah that you were not disgraced with being killed at the hands of my son, and my son had the honor of being martyred at your hands. Meaning, my son was martyred, but if you it happened to you, you would have died in kufr. Okay, so what happened was when they lay siege for a number of days, you know, nothing happens, they can't penetrate. So then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream that there's a hen, it's pecking a utensil and the utensil falls over. So he tells the Sahaba this dream. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh, Messenger of Allah, can I interpret it? The Messenger will let you interpretate it. He said, we should lift the siege. There will be no benefit in carrying on with the siege. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, you have spoken the truth. And they lifted the siege. And it also shows the mentality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look, the Messenger of Allah could have carried on saying, oh no, we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, victory will be tomorrow. But he also assessed the situation. He said, leave it for now, we'll come back another day if need be. And later on, the people of Taif embraced Islam anyway. Now, the famous Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk is known as Al-Jayshul Usra, the difficult battle. Why? Because it fell after a famine and a drought. They are going to fight the Romans over 600 kilometers in Sham away. It's a drought, it's a famine. The Muslims and everybody in Medina are hungry, they got no money, and it's harvest time. It's time to harvest. So they've had a good harvest, and all of a sudden the Messenger of Allah makes an announcement. Now it's a test. So the Munafiqeen came and making all these excuses. Now, because they had this time of a drought and a famine, the Muslims had no wealth, very little wealth. So this is the battle in which Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, you know, I've never been able to outdo Abu Bakr. Here I'm going to outdo him. So he brings half of his wealth. Imagine, half of everything he owns, he brings that. He said, today I've outdone Abu Bakr. Short while later, Abu Bakr comes. He brings every single thing that he had. Leaves nothing at home. Nothing at all. Subhanallah. So Umar on that day conceded. He said, I will never ever be able to outdo Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. This was the battle where the Messenger of Allah said, you know, give us more, you know, we need to prepare the army. This was the same battle where a group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh Messenger of Allah, we want to go in the battle, but we don't have shoes. Imagine, don't have shoes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, I don't have shoes to give you. So these men left, they were crying. They are known as al-Bukaun, the weepers. History records their names, the weepers, that's what they're known as. So this is also the battle where Uthman ibn Affan prepared a third of the entire army. Imagine this. He paid for it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, who can give more? So Uthman ibn Affan said, I will give 300 camels laden with goods. Messenger of Allah, who can give more? Same gathering. Uthman stands up again, 300 camels laden with goods. He said, who can give more? Again, 900 camels laden with goods. Same gathering. So the Sahaba, subhanAllah, wallahi, Sahaba was something else. Who can give more? Same gathering, Uthman stands up, goes home, brings a sack full of gold coins, which were equivalent to his 900 camel laden with goods. And the Messenger of Allah took those coins, and he was flipping them. And he's saying, oh, Uthman, in the scales of Allah, whatever you do after this day, nothing will harm you. They say, whose sacrifice was greater? Whose reward is greater? Uthman's or Abu Bakr's? Uthman prepared a third of the army, but Abu Bakr gave everything that he had. And therefore the ulama mentioned that the sacrifice of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was greater than that of Uthman himself. And subhanAllah, because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think it's 100,000 or 1,000. A person gives 100,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but another person gives 1 dirham. His 1 dirham is more beloved to Allah than the 100,000 of the other person. The Sahaba said, how is that possible? He said, because that person who gave 100,000 had plenty. This person only had 2 dirhams. Out of those 2 dirhams, he gives 1 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is subhanAllah why, brothers, where it comes to giving, you give according to what you have. Allah is your Razak, Allah is the sustainer, Allah knows what Allah has given you. Sometimes you have nothing. Then what are you meant to do? Just say some nice words to the person who's come to ask. Say nice words. Don't be amongst those who never give. Because the more you give, Allah will give you more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the sacrifice of the Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannah for those. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to emulate the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us with them on the day of judgment. Barakallahu feekum. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.